You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, I'm Big Jay Oakerson.
And I'm Dan Soder.
And you're listening to the Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to the Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at the Bonfire SXM.
Hi, campers. It's Black Lou. Welcome to the Bonfire's Best of the Week. On Monday's show, Bumping Mike's comedians David Tell and Jeff Ross stopped by the studio and talked about playing shows in Vegas and the art of picking the right people in the crowd to roast.
They're going to be performing in Vegas this weekend.
The Mirage, you ever been there?
No.
A lot of fun there.
Good times. My Vegas experience is very limited. I went out pretty early in my career and featured for someone at the old Riviera Club. It did not... The shows were good, but the headliner didn't like me.
Was it Elton John?
Yes.
Yes.
Barry Manilow.
Was it Barry Manilow?
They were... Fourth Gallagher.
I didn't really... I walked around a little bit. It was okay. Then I went there. I opened for Korn at the Palms one night.
Right. I remember that.
One night in and out. And then I did my Degenerates, the Netflix special out there, and we were there for three nights, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's all of my Vegas experience. I'm going... with friends for the first time in a couple months. Just like 3 days to hang out.
Fun.
2 days. Mike's going.
Yeah. You could always pop up at the club.
Going?
Yeah.
Going
Dan's going tonight. Dan's everybody, going. Yeah, a bunch of people are going.
We do casinos. Dave likes to be able to smoke even like in the elevators.
Yeah. I love it.
So we have to go like to casino shows.
What a Dave Attell sentence, smoking in an elevator.
I think we're one of the strongest casino acts out there right now.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
You guys realize you're going up against half of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, we'll see at the Casino Olympics.
Oh,
going up against Earth?
Yeah.
Wayne Newton's corpse. We'll see at Eurovision. Ticket to Eurovision.
Hey, look, it's Dave Attell and Jeff Ross. Kneecap those sons of bitches.
Do you guys gamble when you're out, when you play?
Boom. Yeah. Yes. Jeff?
Oh, I fuck hookers without condoms.
Yeah.
The ultimate blackjack.
The true roll of the dice.
See how Dave tossed that one over to me?
That was great.
You know, we're
synced up. That's what it is, guys. Try it.
It's like
we've tried.
It's like one brain, two pairs of pants.
We've tried talking, okay? That's how hard we want to be.
You guys
want
to have a bumping mic off? Hey, Christine's such a shithead when she, you know, Dan.
She looks like she's half share. Bam.
It's that easy.
Done.
Somebody get Netflix on the horn. Tell them there's a battle going on. There's a battle raging.
When you guys go when you go to casinos, is it just nice to just do one night in and one? Because you're doing multiple nights this weekend, right?
We're doing Friday and Saturday for the first time in Vegas, which is a big nut to crack. The funny thing is, like with Dave, there's casinos in places I never would even know there's casinos.
You're right.
There. Like he'll be like, "Let's go to this casino in Southern California." I'm like, "Why wouldn't people just go to Vegas? In Southern California?"
Yes, there's one in Kingman, Arizona, and you go, "That's right outside of Vegas."
Oklahoma is nothing but casinos.
Yeah.
And oil.
In a couple weeks, we're doing Morongo in California, and it's literally Morongo. That's the name of it.
By the time I leave Mohegan Sun after a weekend, I feel like I've aged 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like disgusting. A time warp going on.
It's weird because all you're doing is working and walking there, but yet you feel like you just ate everything.
And no windows, no clocks. It's fucking crazy.
Pumped in air.
Yep.
It's very bizarre.
But it is good for our shows, the casino crowds, because they stay up late. They usually have some money, so they can, you know, I like when they get all dolled up and come on stage. It gives us a lot to work with.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. And then when you walk out, you might catch Three Dog Night playing in the lobby.
I would love that.
Yeah. That's what happened. Right. Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
That's what happened.
I would pay to see those guys.
Me and Mike walked out of the show at Comics, and then right there in the Lion's Den at Mohegan Sun. Three Dog Night, man.
Yep.
Chuck Negron himself.
Yeah, we caught the encore.
Mama told me not to come.
I love that song.
When you guys bring people up on stage, have you ever immediately regretted it?
Yes.
Like, someone's up and you're like, why the fuck did I call him?
Yeah, I'll call the... Dave usually calls the worst people up.
Wow.
couldn't even
sugarcoat it.
What makes why does Dave pick the worst
the
people?
The donut box is closed.
Dave,
why?
Dessert is over.
If you don't like my invasive form of journalism, Dave, I'll take my question asking elsewhere.
Now, Jeff has way more experience than all of us in this room combined with picking people for this kind of roasting. Sure. So
that's
so
what I'm saying. Jeff. Why does Dave pick the worst people?
He'll pick the people that raise their hand first or jump out of their seats first.
Yeah, they're called volunteers.
But I'll go digging and I'll find the guy with like 6 months to live who's like, you know, you want something to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I like the disabled, the pregnant, the old.
The broken. Oh, man, you're like the Statue of Liberty. You're like, give me a tired, you're weak.
It's my chemical romance over there.
You're diabetic.
Yeah. Oh, man, if you're right on death's door, let's get you up here.
You could always take one wing nut. Yeah. But you have to be careful. If you get two up there, then it's going to be chaos, right?
What's your law on hot girls? Usually probably a problem, right?
I think per show, if we bring one or two, if they're friends, hot girls on stage,
you can't have,
that's good.
But you any can't have two that, competing.
Any more, that I can make funny. But as soon as you have too many hot girls, you lose the audience, starts to go, these chicks need too much attention, and they're giving them too much attention.
I was going to say, they start turning on you, thinking that you're giving them attention because you're trying to fuck.
Yeah. David, I would prefer like a married couple or like, you know what's the best is when you get someone who's not hot, you bring them up there, and they're the hot chick up there.
Yeah.
Then you can say anything to that person.
Yeah, they're just living it.
Just their knees are sweating.
They're having so much fun.
God, you are gorgeous, you big fat pig.
Yeah.
Normally, I'll say the one thing that is definitely, I think we can all agree on, that is the no-go is when they come up and then they grab the microphone from you. Then you know, like,
I was just going to say,
this is bad. This was what you said, like, the biggest mistake. It's always the mic grabber.
I was going to ask you guys if hot, because hot girls always go for the mic grab. Yeah. They're like, my name's Ashley, and I've seen you guys do it, and they just grab it, and they're like, I want to talk. And you're like, fuck it, give it.
You should have a taser.
Is that your guys' gator wrestling?
Yeah, right.
Here we go. I'm going to put the mic right by my ass.
We could also play good cop, bad cop sometimes.
Has anybody ever come up so drunk that they have to like check out or throw up or anything?
I'll immediately dismiss them.
Really?
I'm very open. I don't have signals with security. I'll just be like, security, this person's too drunk. Walk them over here. And then they usually just go because there's 1,000 people watching.
Has anyone tried to plead their case? And they're like, fuck you,
yeah, fine.
Jeff Ross fucking roast me. I'm fucking rum soaked.
Yeah, they should be. Going back to your chair after that, and you have to do a bunch of excuse me because you're seat 7 and 8. Yeah. And you're like, sorry.
Or if they bring their drink on stage, that's usually a bad sign.
Yeah.
Mostly when they volunteer. They know to leave their stuff with their friends and come up.
You also got to watch the guy. I think it's another bad audience member is the guy who's not necessarily a fan, but his chick wanted to come.
Right.
And then you get him on stage and he's like, I don't even think this is that funny. You know, that kind of like with the drink kind of guy, too.
Yeah.
Too cool for school.
Yeah.
So, guess say whatever, I'll take it.
Those guys get eviscerated.
Yeah.
With our show, with Dave and I, when we do the bumping mics, especially like on a casino atmosphere, it's a great wingman thing. Like, if you want to get laid, you bring a date to our show.
Yeah?
We're going to break the ice.
Okay.
Whether they come on stage or not, like, it's all about sex.
Yeah.
And hook it up. And, you know, it's a very flirty, fun, bawdy, raucous night.
Although, in our last two gigs, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and in the Borgata. We, in the front row, we had two instances of a 92-year-old fan sitting there, a 92-year-old fan.
92 years old, trying to fuck. Just there trying to fuck.
I think his granddaughter brought him there, and he was having a great time.
That's awesome. That stuff. Is that a person that's too like frail to bring on stage that you're like,
we go down into the audience sometimes if the person can't come up.
Same guy both shows?
No, different guy. Different
great 92 if he was year traveling, olds. Following us around.
He's the deadhead. He's the deadhead.
I gotta get there.
Bucket bumping.
Yeah.
He was great, actually. He waited around to meet us after. Afterwards, and
he was really good.
We get very.
How long did you make him wait, Jeff? He doesn't have forever. And I hope he went out quick.
He had some great coke.
Hey, it's Black Lou again. Producer Lynn and cameraman Corey from Comedy Central have become an extended member of the Bonfire family since they started filming us. But when Lynn revealed to Jacob that Corey had been the lighting man for a porno in his past, the Bonfire producer wasted no time telling Jay and Dan. Listen in as the two hosts interrogate Corey on his XXX past.
Corey, you having fun shooting the show today? I know this isn't your favorite thing, the film, but I appreciate you being here. Does rumor have it that, Corey, you can hop on the microphone too, if you don't mind, that you were involved, you were a camera guy on a porn shoot before?
Well, I did the lighting, and I didn't know it was a porn for the first maybe 4 hours I was there.
Really?
I thought it was really indie.
I got a call. This guy, his name was Danny Fox, and he was like, it's Fox with two X's.
Yeah, that should have been the first clue.
So that wasn't the clue.
There was so many.
He goes,
clues.
Hey, what's up? My name's Johnny Lodes. I need you to
with a Z.
Yeah, with the Z's, definitely at the Z at the end.
There were probably 15 clues along the way that I should have figured out what was going on. And I was like, when's the job? He was like, when can you be here? And like, I went to this place in Midtown, and I was like, is there a script? Like, how am I lighting this up? And he was like, nah, man, it's just a scene, you know, they're going to be here. It's like in an office, you know, there's the boss, and she's asking for more time off work. And I was like, that sounds like a really stupid movie that we're working on.
Who did you get right this?
So I'm lighting it, and I still need like half an hour to do it. And he's like, nah, it's good enough. Bring him in. And like,
is his personality just like this too?
Yeah,
that's fine.
He sounds like everything.
All right, Mr. Pacino. It's Mrs. Streep.
It sounds like everything he's saying. He's running his fingers through his chest hair. You go, how long do you need me to let? He goes, 30 minutes, but we could probably do it in 15. The sentence is like, bring him in. Bring him in.
They brought him in. What they look like?
Well, it was two women, and they were both wearing, I felt, inappropriate shirts for a workplace environment.
That's there you fair. Go. Come on. I mean,
there was a lot of cleavage. Well, I thought maybe it's
you're
Friday.
You're a very conservative man.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So when they bring in these two women, are you still unaware it's a porn?
I still didn't know. And they start running the lines, and I'm like, the dialogue's horrible.
She goes, I'm just looking for something to fill up my time. And Corey's lighting going, who the fuck wrote like, this?
I got something that can fill you with something.
And Mr. Fox. At this point, is this where I fuck her brains out on the desk? And Corey's like, man, these guys, this is gonna be a shitty movie.
Yeah, you know what? Don't even put me in the credits.
Yeah,
I don't care that I was
so
here.
The two girls come in and they start running the lines. Do you remember any of the dialogue?
I just remember when the director said, "Take your shirt off," and then these girls were like 69ing maybe 15 seconds later.
Oh, what?
And I turned to the guy standing next to me. I was like, is this a porn? He was like, the fuck are you talking about? Of course.
Yeah.
Also, he just said to take your shirts off, and they took some artistic liberty by 69ing. Yeah. Wow, I guess he's letting them improv. And it was
can't teach love of the game. As these girls get in there, they know, just they're like magnets.
Were they hot? Were they hot chicks? What kind of level of porn is this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was the kind of level of porn where they're hiring people to work on it about an hour before they started filming.
There you go. Dude, you got to watch the whole thing, though?
Yeah.
Did you bone up?
They tried to put me in like a behind-the-scenes video. And
did your dick suck or something?
No.
They didn't offer that? They're just going to have you light a place and not offer you your dick sucked.
Dude, Jay, you seem like the kind of guy that would get into lighting just so you could work on a porn set.
I'm going to become an interrogator because Corey's hiding something. You can tell the way he's holding back. Look
Jacob's
at Jacob.
Nodding.
Jacob's,
Jacob's a good second cop to you.
What happened? Who sucked your dick on that set? Yeah. Mr. Fox himself?
Corey, I want to thank you in a way that money seems not personal enough.
Don't look at it as a man. Look at it as a stranger's mouth.
Corey, what are we getting tripped up about? You did an excellent job lighting it. I'm Danny Fox. I like to suck off my lighting.
I know what I like, and I like what I like. And I like you.
I woke up on a Thursday and I said, I'm going to taste the lighting man's cum. Let's make it happen.
What happened, Corey?
None of that stuff, but yeah, I wish that it had.
No, wait, something happened. Yeah,
something happened, dude. I see what Jay's talking about. You're squirrely as shit, dude.
I know what it's like to be Jacob now. I'm like,
yeah. Well, I just want to say this. I was doing good cop, bad cop, but now
he's got something.
I see him.
They sucked your dick off camera.
Jay should fight. If you were a police officer, you would have so many closed cases. This court go like this. He goes,
yeah, discombobulated. Yeah, that was right.
No, right away.
Corey was about to ask. Corey's about to go. Can I have some water?
He goes, hey, buddy, you want me to get you that Dr. Pepper and those flaming Cheetos now? Your first 48.
First 48. They both suck your dick afterwards. Both girls?
I don't remember.
This is before you were engaged in all that hullabaloo. It's a different time.
Yeah. I would tell you. Obviously, I would tell you if it happened.
Would you?
Why wouldn't I?
Because we're all feeling like it did, and you're not telling us.
Something happened, and you're not cluing us in. Did you hang out with the ladies after that?
They watched you masturbate.
Did you Louis C.K. them?
Did they lose CKU?
Did they lose CKU?
Yeah.
Did you jerk off in front of them and go, Louie? That's called a Louie.
Did you sit him in a room and
jerk off in front of a girl and sing that song?
Did you jerk off in front of them and tell them an inappropriate Parkland shooting joke?
Yeah. Did you hang out with them outside of the shoot?
No.
Shut up, dude. One of them is the girl you're about to marry. One of them is the girl you're about to marry. Shut the fuck up right now.
Are
One
you
of
marrying Danny Fox?
Danny.
Lynn, you know Corey best. He's hiding something.
I think you're
James
the only one
looking for talking points about porn. So,
why are you striking out about everyone that knows?
I just know you're trying to get us away.
Out. I'm on your
side. Just want to know how you guys knew that I worked on a porn.
I look
she
at the rundown sheets. I know. I just look
Who
at the rundown.
Sheets.
Black Lou.
What camera?
Corey definitely dunked his dick, right?
God,
did he dunk his dick? He definitely dunked his dick, didn't he? In something. In some hole. Maybe even a hand hole.
He might put the tip in a little bit. And then he got guilty after he put the tip in. He's like, no, I can't do this.
A little in the mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you girls are being paid.
Definitely.
I've been there. Corey, you just go for it. Getting your dick sucked by these two prostitutes.
I'll tell you, as someone that knows Jay, if you do have anything, give it up or else he will paint the worst picture. He's going to paint a picture way worse than anything that you probably actually did.
Hi, everyone. It's Jacob. It's been a few weeks since the Bonfire hosts went on their comedy camping trip. But on Wednesday's show, Dan Soder revealed he's still having nightmares about the epic snoring he had to endure from comedian Mike Suarez.
Dude, we all shared that cabin for the Bonfire, you know what, dude, camping trip. And I slept on the couch because it was soft. And I was like, oh, I'm good at sleeping on couches. Yeah. I fell asleep so hard. And then like an hour later, I heard just the loudest.
Scary.
it was crazy.
It's exorcist noises.
Dude, it was crazy to the point that I went and got my ear. At first, I did the thing. I was sleeping. I kept yelling out, Mike, shut up. You know? Because it stopped. First off, it wasn't consistent.
You always think it stops.
It would go completely silent.
He would die for seven straight minutes. They go,
your homie needs a fucking CPAP machine.
Dude, I told him in the morning, I was
a
like,
a CPAP?
Yeah,
I was like, oh, man, someone's got a. Dan should have been kicked straws into his nose.
All right, defib.
Dude, I in the morning, I was like, I'll buy you a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
Dude, it got so crazy.
CPAP? Isn't that fucking.
I don't know what
steroids?
It is.
CPAP. CPAP.
Whatever.
Did I mispronounce it?
I breathe properly. I'm sorry, you fat idiots don't know how to breathe when you're sleeping.
I've never used a CPAP machine in my life.
I didn't look at you, dude. But I have woken up.
I didn't look at you. Don't bring yourself into this.
I better be the greatest night of sleep in my life, though.
Greg has one. He goes, it changed my life.
Did it really?
I didn't know what good sleeping was until I had one.
And now he sleeps.
He sleeps like a fucking stone.
Hey, we're having fun. So wait, but he would go completely silent.
Yeah.
And then just go. So I got up and got earbuds and turned on.
That ain't gonna cut it.
Pandora classical music. So I was listening to classical music, and he was still cutting
through.
Why aren't
you listening to like a podcast or something, like a wrestling podcast?
Just because people talking, I would like pay attention. I knew there was no lyrics in classical music, so it just kind of made. And by the way, it helped for a little bit, because I'd fall asleep, but then you'd just hear like, hum, dun, 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 huh. And you'd hear it through it.
Ow!
Dude, Jay, and then in
my
the morning, I told Jay,
help, I'm dying in my sleep.
I told Jay about it in the morning. He's like, yeah, that's all Mike's doing is he's dying and you're upset for dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get mad at him? Guy fucking died 17 times last night.
Have you ever woken up? I've sat up and straight in bed before and gone. I've done it more than a few times in my life. It's super scary because there's a few times where it takes you a couple seconds to actually get your breath back. And you're like, this is it. I'm dying.
I had never done it. Christine's... done it, but I was holding a pillow over her face.
Right. And then she fought. She just kicked the right place.
Yeah.
I would be willing to try sleep apnea, and I don't even
snore.
I've
been meaning to get a sleep study.
You don't snore at all?
No.
Really?
But I wake up every hour.
I've never met anybody who doesn't snore anymore, I feel like, in my life.
All right. Well, maybe you need to start hanging out with cooler kids.
I just think you snore.
I don't snore.
Who told you that?
Did Vecchione tell you that?
Every lady I've bedded.
You asked?
first thing in the morning, I go, I wake up with my hand around their throat. I go, did I snore? They go, Dan, you're hurting me.
I go, I always figured.
Did I fucking snore?
And they always
figured. No. There's a way to solve this.
I always figured because you'd fuck them to sleep first,
oh,
right?
Oh, Ice Cube, yeah. Today was a good day. Pulled out the jammy. And killed that poo nanny.
Stop looking up sleep apnea. We know. Sleep we all got it. We're fat. We get it. Happy birthday, Andy.
Thanks.
Great. Now I'm with you guys.
Oh, happy birthday. We're embarrassed in front of Becky and Christine.
Right. 40 years old, and you're telling me you can't even sleep. But great. Seriously, let's all get sleep apnea machines.
You want to call us little dicks in front of our fucking pornographer
Jacob,
friend,
do you
Corey?
Snore? Jacob doesn't snore.
You don't think so?
He snores like a little cute mouse.
Oh,
like this.
I bet you really do.
Nah, he's too healthy.
I bet like a feather just goes up and down in front of your, over your head.
Black Lou, do you snore?
Only when I'm drunk.
Only when you're drunk.
That's a qualifier from a lot of people.
That's the only time your wife tells you.
Christine, do you saw logs?
Oh my God,
holy
so bad.
Holy shit. Immediately when she falls asleep.
And it's like, I'm sure I have sleep apnea.
Last night, she looked at me and she goes, I just want to lay facing you for a minute. I go, that's fine. She goes, I swear I'll flip over in a minute. I thought she had a pube in her throat. That was bizarre.
Hey, yo, what's up, campers? This is DJ Lou. On this week's Lost Tapes, Jay brings up the movie Devil's Advocate, starring Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino. Dan has a very strong opinion about it, which leads to a flurry of Al Pacino impressions. Oh, check out this clip.
I'm just a big Keanu Reeves guy.
You hate to say it, but yeah.
Everyone that's ever worked with him said he's cool as shit. He just popped up in Ali Wong's movie as like a fucking kind of a favor to her.
But he's Devil's Advocate.
Terrible.
I mean, I loved it. You didn't like that?
It's been a while. It was a really 90s movie.
Pacino?
I am the devil. I'm the man. You go against me. You gotta dance with the devil.
It's Pacino giving up. It's Pacino. It's the start of Pacino not trying.
TJ Lou's backing you up.
I gotta agree.
Yeah. I'm the devil. Look at me. Beelzebub.
I didn't realize you guys were so above seeing Charlize Theron's
great
full pussy.
I mean, I don't know about full pussy.
Full pussy.
I get a lot of puss.
Are you kidding me? Full pussy.
I don't remember that.
Well, remember it before you start shit-talking Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate Blue.
Come on, dude.
I'm a lawyer, but I'm also the devil. Don't you understand? It's right in front of your eyes.
I'm a lawyer, and I'm the devil. Sorry if the chicken got dried out.
You want me to tell you what I'm doing with damn souls, and I'm sorry if the chicken got dried out.
I'm seeing over the entire hoary netherworld. Sorry if the chicken got dried out.
I got 6 levels of pure damnation. I got murderers, rapists, child abductors, and I'm not home in time, so I'm sorry if the chicken got dried out.
I'm the landlord for 9 circles of hell. I got a person in 4C breaking my chops about some leaky pipes. Sorry if the chicken got dried out.
I'm a fallen angel. I'm God's former right-hand man, and I'm down in the flames. I'm sorry if the chicken got dried out.
Dude, Heat was the last time Pacino tried. Sorry, dude. That's where he checks out.
Come on, dude.
Pacino checked out after Heat.
Any Given Sunday?
You're right. He kind of showed up. That was helmets and shorts. That wasn't full pads. He didn't go full pads for Any Given Sunday.
What are you talking about?
We are in hell. I leased a Lexus 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I spilled a blizzard there. We're not going to get together.
I'm having sex with Jesse Spano. I think I'm paying her. I don't even know.
I don't even know. I do. Jamie Foxx does an impression of me to me, and I don't do anything about it. I don't.
Sorry if the chick you got
cut. Al, you're doing lines from Heat again. This is Any Given Sunday.
Oliver, I'm sorry. I'm bringing it all together. This is my Pacino jambalaya.
You know, there's a flip side to that coin.
I see you.
I will put you down, brother.
Dude, yeah. That Any Given Sunday, that speech. Everything outside of that. That movie
he
sucks.
Feel bad for him with the hooker, and he's bummed out. He wants to hang out with the hooker, and not hooker time. And she was like, "Ah, I mean, if you're going to put this on, I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop you.
I'm never going to stop you from playing this speech.
It's what's so great about this speech, though, is at the end of the day, and we all fall for it. It is, to me, one of the greatest mysteries of masculinity. You're like, look at us. And these guys looking at each other, he goes, we're going to war together right now. Yeah. We're going to war. He goes, it's a game with a ball.
Yeah.
It's a ball game.
You guys are playing ball.
You guys are playing a ball game.
You guys
want
to play with your ball?
It's a ball game. Goes, but I've cried at the, you know, these Dawkins. 12 players came together and put together a season that would, and you're like, oh, it's so emotional. But you're like, at the end of the day, it's like, we lost. Now what? He goes, no, nothing.
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 You get to keep your life?
Anyway, I'm going to go get in my Maserati and get out of here.
Do you think soldiers take offense to shit like this? They're like, hey, I was in actual war.
Yeah. You look to your left and right and you see a brother that you're ready to go to war in hell with. He goes, you're just going against the offensive line for the Dolphins, man.
You guys are going into a temperature-controlled dome.
Yeah. The other army is wearing teal and some sort of an electric green shoe.
You understand that I had to go against the Taliban. I went against the Taliban, who was on opiates.
Well, I'll tell you, the Denver Broncos are my Taliban this week.
You know, they say that a bunch of Saudi Arabians took down those towers, but I think those Dallas Knights, those are our Al-Qaeda.
I'll tell you who got it. Those sons of bitches across the locker room over there.
You love America. They don't. That's what this game is about.
Loving America.
Hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. East on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.